Get exclusive insider access to Milan's style and design with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Make private visits to galleries, top restaurants and shops, Lake Como, and much more. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 646-780-8383.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. U.S. financial markets have been on quite a run for 2019, so much so that the NASDAQ Composite Index has now exited the bear market it tumbled into the day before Christmas. Let's run down the numbers for Friday and the past week. Stocks soared on Friday with the Dow Jones Industrials rising 443 points to 25,883. The NASDAQ rose 45 points and the S&P 500 gained 29. The Dow gained more than 3% the past week. Both the NASDAQ and S&P rose 2.5%, and markets are closed on Monday for President's Day. With us now to discuss the markets is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Corey Driebusch. Corey, as mentioned, the NASDAQ has escaped the bear market, now up more than 20% from the Christmas Eve low. Why don't you tell us why this has happened?
Sure, Charlie. So as we all remember, the end of 2018 was a bit brutal, especially for technology stocks. We saw shares of Amazon, Apple, Netflix all really tank. And that had a lot to do with this fear of U.S. economic growth possibly slowing, as well as that overhang of trade tensions between the U.S. and China. And, you know, in 2019, technology companies have really been on a tear. They're outperforming many other sectors. If you look at technology stocks in S&P 500, I think they're the third or fourth best performing sector this year. And a lot of that has to do with a couple things. The whole market has benefited from the Federal Reserve signaling that they're not going to be raising interest rates much this year. But also, trade tensions have eased. There's been some progress there. And the U.S. economy seems to be doing okay. And even more importantly, we're in the middle of fourth quarter earnings, and tech companies are doing really well. According to FactSet, more than 80% of them have beaten expectations, which is a good thing.
Are they beating lowered expectations?
Well, that is the thing. They're better than feared. And we all remember that after that, it came after that December 24th low for stocks. But Apple earlier this year did have that notorious lowered guidance where they issued a warning about demand in Asia. And that really set the stage for a lot of lowered expectations for how any company that made parts that went into the iPhone or also relied on demand from the Chinese consumer might also be struggling. And we haven't really seen that play out yet.
More immediately, Friday saw big gains. Was this because investors are less worried about trade tensions between the U.S. and China?
In part, yes, that is definitely true. Heading into Friday's trading session, we had reports about trade negotiators. They had week-long talks in Beijing, and they said that during negotiation, both sides were having there was still a substantial gap between the concessions that China is willing to offer and what the Trump administration will accept. But they were upbeat in a sense that they're going to be having more conversations this coming week. And that seemed like some sort of progress. President Trump also, in his public remarks earlier on Friday, said that the U.S. is, quote unquote, close to a deal with China. So that also supported the idea that we're not likely to hit an impasse, or we're not as likely to hit an impasse as maybe that was feared a week or two ago.
I suppose in a glass half empty scenario, the optimism could be short lived if, U.S. and China trade negotiators don't reach a deal to forestall tariffs and the talks continue in Washington.
Yes. And investors, and we've spoken about this in past Fridays, that is a number one concern for investors we speak with, is that really high tariffs will be placed on items, and that could severely damage corporate earnings.
And I believe the deadline to reach a deal is March 1st.
Yes, it is. One of the things that I wrote about in the story on Friday was Citigroup analysts predict that 2019 global growth could be 0.2 percentage points slower if a deal isn't reached. So that it speaks a bit to the stakes.
On a related note, traders still have to contend with a few negatives. We got some weak retail sales data in the U.S. this past week. And as mentioned, you know, data in the Eurozone and China pointed to a slowdown. And also, U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May saw her latest Brexit proposal rejected in Parliament. Obviously, not all is sweetness and light.
Yes. And in regards to the retail sales on Friday, another reminder that things are a bit tenuous. Mattel, the toy maker Mattel, issued disappointing 2019 guidance, and its stock had a brutal reaction to that. It fell severely, triggered a few trading halts on the way down, or a couple trading halts on the way down.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Corey Driebusch. Thanks a lot, Corey.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
It'll be a holiday-shortened trading week with U.S. financial markets closed for President's Day on Monday. The week's economic calendar is highlighted by the minutes from the most recent Federal Reserve policy meeting. They'll be released Wednesday afternoon. Also this week, several housing reports, existing home sales and housing starts, both from the month of January, and the latest housing market index from the National Association of Home Builders. We'll also get a report on December durable goods orders, which was delayed due to the recent government shutdown. The Conference Board will issue its January index of leading economic indicators. And after progress was reported in Beijing this past week on U.S.-China trade talks, negotiators from both countries will continue discussions in Washington in the new week. On the earnings calendar, Walmart highlights the list of companies reporting quarterly results. We'll also hear from CVS Health, Avis Budget, Intuit, Roku, Kraft Heinz, and Wendy's. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.